Now let's start out from the beginning, and let me get your name and the unit you went to Iraq with.
Okay, my name is William Wooldridge. I was a specialist in A4. The unit that I went to Iraq with was the 1123rd Transportation Unit, Blible National Guard under 87th Troop Command out of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay, and when did you go to Iraq?
We were mobilized to Iraq February 10th, 2003.
Okay, about the same time they mobilized almost all the other National Guard units then, right?
Yes.
Okay, and when did you actually get to Kuwait?
We got to Kuwait somewhere in April, around the first week of April.
And when did you get boots on ground in Iraq? You were there for the initial invasion part then?
Yeah, we were there right behind all of the real combat. We were what they call a medium-heavy transportation unit.
Okay.
And we were capable of hauling anything that needed to be hauled, from food, water, tanks, munitions, missiles, rockets, you name it.
Now, in the initial push, were you guys taking the supplies up to the forward combat units?
No, we weren't. We were, we left at Camp New York, Kuwait.
Okay.
And we mobilized at Camp New York, Kuwait, and we reported in at Camp Dogwood, Iraq, in which we were put there at Camp Dogwood. There was no real clear mission statement that we were to support anybody. We were basically there as, you know, anybody's need. We run munitions from Camp Dogwood, Iraq, back to Kuwait. We run trips to Camp Anaconda. We supported the 3rd ID, 82nd Airborne, 4th ID.
I've heard that a few times, but I've never actually talked to a guy that went through that situation personally. How did that make you feel, you guys being out there basically all on your own?
Well, we were running out of stepchildren. The food, the water, the supplies were not available to us in a confident way that, you know, you knew that you had your food and supplies that were there for you. There was times that other units had their chow time. You know, they had the little trailer kitchen they call a KP, and we were told that after the units were fed that we could come in if there was anything left over and eat, you know, whatever there was left over.
Oh, man.
We were put in a position where we would go to Kuwait, Camp New York, Kuwait, when we run missions south. We would stop by Camp New York to try to get water, food, things like that, take a shower, use the phone if possible. We heard a lot of, if you're not a permanent party, you don't use the facilities. We were told by a command sergeant there at Camp Spearhead, Iraq, that if he caught one more of our Arkansas patches in his showers, that we would be moved into the desert and away from Spearhead. At that time is when we first entered Iraq, or first entered Kuwait, and we were there for several days at Camp Spearhead, which we didn't have any showers or any phone contact. When we contacted home, let them know we were okay. It was like a shot in the dark. You know, we got there, and, you know, we were not officially allowed to use the phones or the showers. You know, so that put a lot of stress on us there, because, you know, as we left, we told our families we would call as soon as we could, let them know that we made it there okay.
Right.
And that we're awaiting our orders.
So basically, how long was it before you guys had any contact with families on a constant basis, or did you ever have that?
We never had contact with family on a constant basis. It was basically, you know, I mean, the truth of the matter is, we were made to feel like criminals in a way, because everything that we did achieve at certain points in our tour over there was because we generally ducked under the radar and done it, I guess, when we wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, now let me ask you something. Did you guys have any of the armored Humvees? What was your vehicle situation like? What was your trucks like?
Well, I drove what's called an 88 Mike, and it's a tractor-trailer combination. There was no armor involved in the vehicles that I operated. The 5-tons, we had 2 Humvees, I would say about 65 5-tons, and 10 to 12 818s were tractor-trailers.
Okay.
And nothing was armored. There's no armor whatsoever.
Did you guys ever have anybody else attached to you doing the security on the convoys? Were you basically running the convoys without any security?
There was one time when we initially entered Iraq from Camp New York, Kuwait. We were given an escort about halfway point to Camp Dogwood, and then we were put on our own. That was the only time we ever had any type of security.
So you guys were wide open to any kind of attacks that would come up without any backup security or quick reaction force attached or anything like that?
We survived Iraq just pure dumb luck and God's blessing. When we first went into Iraq, we didn't even have munitions for 50 calibers or Mark 19s. We had M16s with 210 rounds apiece, and that is all that we had.
Whoa.
And that was it. I mean, we had nothing else. We had no escort. We, for the most part, we really didn't have any radios. I think out of our entire unit, we had maybe 3 radios that travel with their vehicles. So yes, we were put in a situation where it was just plumb dumb luck that we were never nailed. Because, we was easy picking.
Did you guys ever get attacked directly?
Well, we didn't lose any soldiers or have any wounded while I was there. I was told that after I was medevaced out that we had a couple of soldiers take some pretty heavy hits, RPGs and sniper fire. There's, I believe, 3 Purple Hearts, 1 Bronze Star awarded inside of our unit.
Okay.
But there's one incident that I have on paper that the unit has even verified for me that we weren't specifically injured, but we were in a situation where things could have got real bad real quick, and there was nothing we could have done. And like I said before, it's dumb luck and just the grace of God that, you know, many of us weren't killed. We had one incident where a bus was running behind our convoy. They tried to run into our convoy, but a civilian somehow cut the bus off at point of impact, and it blew up. It threw the civilian car almost over the top of one of our 818s and on the other side of the highway that we were on. And there were several pickup trucks full of Iraqis in the back of the AK-47s. And I remember staring down the barrel of an AK-47 that could have been no more than 25 feet away from me, in which I could actually see the Iraqi, and I could actually pinpoint him pulling the trigger on an AK-47, and for whatever reason, it didn't fire.
Ooh.
And that's the only reason why I'm here right now. Like I said, dumb luck. You know, but the bus that blew up was intended to hit us. It hit all the markings of a hit,
on just a second.